Texans know all about taking what we're given and turning it into something good. But finding solutions isn't always easy. Sometimes you need the backing of a bank like Pinnacle Bank that understands your unique banking needs. Here when you need us, that's the Texas way. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. Visit us online at PINNBANKTX.com. Pinnacle Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
The Western Company of Texas is the premier oilfield water transfer service in the Bakken, Barnett, Fayetteville, Haynesville, and Woodward Shale, basically all the shale plays. Their goal is to efficiently transfer water to your next completion job with the best service possible to meet all your water transfer needs. With over 100 miles of water transfer pipe and over 90 high-capacity pumps on hand, they're ready to go to work on your next water transfer job 24/7, even with the most demanding timelines. Their employees log over 430,000 hours a year laying pipe in some of the roughest terrain with zero delays and zero excuses. Give their team a call at 682-831-9300. That's 682-831-9300. Or online at wct.us.com.
Did you know that Complete Production Services is one of North America's leading oilfield service providers, offering field support solutions, equipment, and well production optimization and enhancement to some of the largest oil and gas companies? Complete Production is fully committed to developing solutions for your operating environment and can handle any oilfield demands, well servicing, and rentals. Most importantly, they are committed to superior customer service and also focus on safety and the environment. Service, expertise, innovation. Complete Production Services. Join us online at CompleteProductionServices.com.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
We are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. If you're just dialing us in, we want you to join us online at eradiosports.com. And we are always ready to line it up with our Husker great Jason Peter in our weekly Under the Helmet segment. It's a little bit of a two-on-one fast break for Jason. He's taking care of his daughters and he's holding his little ones. So hopefully she'll be real quiet throughout our segment. And Jason, it's always such a pleasure to catch up with you. What a cool dad you are.
Yeah, how dare my wife leave me alone with two little ones. Unbelievable. Hopefully I'll get through the interview without a meltdown, let alone the next few days that she's decided to leave me with both of them.
Well, you know, mommies need their downtime, so she's getting refreshed. She'll be ready to come on home to you. But let's reflect back. The Huskers go on the road in the Big Ten, take care of business against Minnesota 41-14. Before we preview this weekend's game against Michigan State, what was your thoughts on, you know, the fact now they've won two back-to-back wins?
Yeah, I think the win was good just in the fact that it kind of quieted everybody down. People were up in arms, even considering the comeback win from Ohio State. I think a lot of people looked at that game and thought if Ohio State was able to keep their quarterback healthy, chances are that Nebraska probably would have lost that game. And there was just, I think, a lot of people frustrated with the play calling in the Ohio State game, especially in the first half. So I think going on the road, number one, was a plus. Just to it's tough playing in Lincoln, Nebraska. There's
yes.
A lot of expectations, and people have a certain standard that they hold this team to. So sometimes I think for 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, it's a little easier to go on the road. So they had a good trip out there to Minnesota, and they were able to go out and execute the game plan. But you also got to remember, it's Minnesota, so it's not like they were playing world beaters out there. This was the bottom of the Big Ten.
Well, the challenge certainly is, you know, right before them this weekend. Of course, they're playing Michigan State, as you said, in Lincoln. The Spartans are 3-0 in league play, and they certainly will be ready to line it up. What are your thoughts on this particular matchup?
Yeah, this is one of the premier teams in the Big Ten, and I kind of I'm pretty cautious. I mean, even when you're talking about the Big Ten, and I know it's a good Michigan State team, but I think when you look in the grand scheme of things, when you compare some of these schools to what's happening, like in the SEC, I mean, with the Alabamas and schools, the Floridas, comparing to the Big 12, I mean, even though Oklahoma had a bad loss at home to Texas Tech, they're still at a different level. And I'm cautious when talking about Big 10 teams, even with Nebraska being in the Big 10 now, just because they haven't fared well when they've played some of the elite. But this Michigan State team, with the impressive win over Wisconsin, and it was impressive. Even though they had to come back there at the end with the Hail Mary pass, I thought Michigan State deserved to win that game. They really outplayed Wisconsin. But Michigan State's going to be a totally higher level opponent than what they just saw in Minnesota. I mean, Michigan State is going to be good up front. They've got a veteran quarterback in Kirk Cousins. They've got a good run game. They've got receivers that can catch the ball, and probably the best part of their team is the defense. You know, they're good up front. Their front seven is good. They've got good speed out on the edges. So this is a team that is going to be a tough matchup for Nebraska. And to tell you the truth, I just don't know if Nebraska has the horses up front on defense in order to win this football game. I think they've got their work cut out big time against Michigan State.
You're listening to the voice of Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. And Jason, you bring up a great point. You're talking about Michigan State and that big win, the last-second Hail Mary pass to defeat Wisconsin. When you come off such an emotional win like that, hopefully they're going to move past that as they prepare for Nebraska and go into Lincoln. But do you think that will impact them in any way in terms of how they perform on Saturday?
Very well could. It just kind of depends what type of leadership they have on that team. With the game being at Michigan State, they show up to classes on Monday following that big win, and on their way to class, all the girls are looking at the players now, and all the guys are telling them what a great job they did and how awesome they are, and it's on the players to say, that game's over. We're talking about Nebraska now, and if you have guys like that and then leaders in the locker room who constantly remind the guys that we got to put that game behind us and there's no riding that emotional high. We've got to get ready for Nebraska, so you got to stop believing everything that people are saying, all the, whether it's students or whether it's talk radio or newspaper journalists, they're all writing about how good Michigan State is now. And it's just on the kids. You know, the coaches can sit up there in front of everybody and till they're blue in the face saying, we got to move on. That game's over with. But it comes down to the kids, because those are the ones, they're around each other the most. And they know when they're still maybe hanging on to that last win. So we'll see what type of leadership Michigan State has. But yeah, that is something. It's bigger. It's a bigger obstacle than I think people think.
Leadership certainly important. We are visiting with Jason Peter this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. And we were talking earlier before we came on today's program. And as I understand, and Jason, I don't think we've talked about this, but the black shirts, they have not been handed out this year. Bo's not done that?
He has not.
I'm sorry, Jason, has that ever happened before?
No, there's never been a year since the black shirts first started that there's been a group that's been without them. Now, there have been times, even when I played with under Charlie McBride, when he would yank black shirts, and there might only have been four of us out there who had black shirts on, and he ripped seven of them off certain guys. But he'd always handed them out at the beginning of the year, and Bo's done it a little differently, where he's waited. Sometimes it's the first game, sometimes it's the third or the fourth game, until he feels like they've earned them. Now, I get it, but now you're at a point where you've got a tough Michigan State team coming into town, and your defense hasn't really shocked anybody or shined at any point this season. Chances are Michigan State's going to rack up some yards, and they'll probably put up some points. And then you've got a few more, and you've got another Michigan game you got to play where they're explosive on offense with Denard Robinson. You've got an Iowa team down the road around Thanksgiving, and you've got some teams here where it doesn't necessarily get a whole lot easier. So if you don't hand them out, that's why people were thinking that they were going to come after this Minnesota game, because there was an opportunity. The defense actually played pretty decent. You got to remember who they played, but they were still able to go out and execute the game plan. It would be something that I think would probably make Nebraska fans not real happy, I think. I think it's one of Nebraska's greatest traditions,
right,
when it's talking about when you're talking about the football program. And this, when you don't hand them out, it kind of says in a way you're bigger than the tradition that's been around for 30, 40 years. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully the kids get them. I get it, like I said, with what he's doing, but I also respect the tradition of the black shirts a lot more than one individual man's, I guess, idea of what they are.
Just a couple more minutes this weekend with Jason Peter. It's a bit of an abbreviated segment. We went long. We were talking about Sooner football. We're in recovery mode, Jason. We're trying to get over that very disappointing loss at home against Texas Tech last weekend, but good things we think will happen against K-State. But the shuffling continues within the Big 12 Conference. And my question to you is, and we'll delve into this a little bit more next weekend, but, you know, we're hearing so much, West Virginia, perhaps they're going to come to the Big 12, and then it's Louisville. I mean, who would you like to see join the Big 12 Conference?
Oh, man. I think the tougher part is not even about who would I want in the conference. Who's in the conference? Is Missouri still in the conference? Is Texas A&M, are they gone, or are they?
Who's running the conference, Jason?
I know. It's really shocking. Yeah, and it's sad. I mean, now you got politicians that are involved supposedly, and they're some of the guys that are either making or breaking these deals, and I don't know why there's so much, suspense, or are these kind of just backroom deals where nothing's official yet until, I don't know what happens, but it seems like this happens in more than just this Missouri case. It seems like whenever there's a change in conference, that there seems to be some sort of delay in actually getting to the conference from when it was originally announced. And I know some of that it tends to be journalists who they just run with something whether they have it right or not, and they kind of live with, I guess, the consequences down the road. You never really see a retraction or anything like that. But, I think everyone always wants to be the first guy to report that there's been a change in a school's status in conference, or whether you're even talking about the smallest things like injury reports. I think there's a fight to kind of the finish line with reporters as to who gets it out the quickest. So sometimes they don't wait for all the details. But this seemed to have been a done deal with West Virginia coming to the Big 12, and then it's like right before the clock strikes midnight, it seems like West Virginia's out and maybe Louisville's in. So, I don't really see I guess the benefit from the Big 12 at even considering West Virginia, I mean, I don't know that it really opens you up to a ton of TV markets. It's not like you're getting into kind of that New York market. Yeah, you're on the East Coast, and yeah, you'll get some different exposure, but I just don't see the fit with West Virginia and Big 12. Louisville, you know, kind of the same deal there. I would probably see Louisville maybe even as a better fit over West Virginia, but who knows what's happening. I'm sure there'll be some more schools that supposedly are joining, and who knows who's going. So it's just a game of musical chairs, and we'll just kind of wait and see what happens.
Well, I think you said it best. It is really a game of musical chairs, and everybody is in temporary status. I mean, there has been no stability. It's just like everyone's constantly on the move, seeking out the most viable options and the best options for their university and for their school and their program. Listen, Jay, we are flat out of time. We appreciate you coming on. We'll catch up with you next week. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, E. I appreciate it.
We'll talk to you soon.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports. Delivering the insight. Delivering the insight you won't find anywhere else. Anywhere else. Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson. Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum. And Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Miss one episode and you miss the game.